foundation? What do we go back to? Not when things are good and easy, but when things get hard, when things fall apart. And getting back to that foundation. So the group is a 12-week study course, and it's pretty intense. It's a deep dive into your heart and soul. So we're going to launch that in September, be doing another one over the winter. So it's all about getting known, getting whole, and then giving back. So hopefully out of this group, we'll have three or four other men that want to lead a group, and we can take 50 guys through it over the winter. That would be awesome.
Next. Good morning. I can hardly see you. We're going to be starting a group, RBNI, and this is going to start on September 5th at 6 p.m. here. So that's the first Tuesday in September. It's called The Gospel on the Ground, and we are going to be studying the book of Acts in the original, through a Middle Eastern lens, so as they would have viewed it, and also a historical context. So what you need to bring is your Bible, something to take notes. You don't need to be a scholar or a theologian. Just come and let's dig into the Word together. And because we know that the kingdom of God is moving outward, and we get to be a part of that. We're going to study and see how it moved outward through all the persecution that they were enduring at that time and how that was used to further the gospel.
And now Wayne and Irene.
Thanks, Arby. Long ago, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And his answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And that's something I've contemplated for many years. And the question is, how do you love like that? In my very finite capabilities, I know I fall very, very, very short of fulfilling that commandment. So I'm just looking for some answers, and I found on Right Now Media a topic. It's called Love Like That. So that's what's going to be our life group. It's 6 weeks, and we're going to start September 4th. It's a Monday, so we'll go every Monday for 6 weeks at 6:30 at our place, and our place is located about a mile down the road towards Kooski. And we'll get more information when you sign up. And here's my lovely bride.
So I just want to let you know we are the only life group to offer goats.
Goats are not in our living room, though I put my foot down on that. Because I'm a masculine man, kind of.
There we go. Now I have volume. So just a reminder, sign up at the Information Center for Life Groups. You can get more information back there. Also inside your folder and your bulletin, the monthly calendar. Get more information there as well. Life groups are wonderful. They get you engaged in community life with one another. It's a lot more intimate setting where you get time to create relationship and community. So make sure you sign up. Get involved. Life groups are amazing. I've been in and out of life groups for probably 20 years, and I'm always better for having attended one, always growing and developing in relationship with those around me. So before we release kids, last Sunday we had baptism. That was awesome. We went to baptize 8 people and then had 2 more from the crowd there that wanted to be baptized also. So we ended up baptizing 10 people last Sunday, and there was one very enthusiastic little girl, probably 4 or so, and we didn't baptize her because you have to be old enough to confess your faith, I believe, and make that decision yourself. So we dedicated her to the Lord and dunked her under the water, and she was ecstatic about it. So it was fun. It was a great Sunday. It was a good time. So we're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church, ages 3 to 5th grade, have classes available over in the East Wing. Parents, if you could sign your child into class and remember to pick them up after service. And also, the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore in the back on my right. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like some more privacy, you're welcome to go there. Or, as always, you're welcome to sit right here with your family and enjoy the service together. All right, we're jumping into stewardship this week. We're going to be talking about stewardship over the next several weeks. Should be a fun topic, right? There's one excited person. Wonderful. The Word of God talks a lot about stewardship, and it calls us as believers in Christ Jesus to steward over many things: our relationships, our attitudes, our hearts, our minds, the Word of God, what we do with our gifts, talents, treasures, abilities, time. God calls us to be stewards even of this earth. And we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. But today, stewardship, according to Webster's Dictionary, the office, duties, and obligations of a steward. As a child of God, you are a steward. You have an office, you have duties, and you have obligations. The conducting, supervising, or managing of something. Those are all active words, correct? We should actively be doing something for the Lord. What are you doing for His name, for His glory? Especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So this is not mine. We're not taking care of our stuff. We're taking care of His stuff. A steward isn't watching over his own stuff. He's watching over someone else's. Taking special, careful responsibility to manage it, what's been entrusted to us. So what has been entrusted to you in your life? Think about it for a moment. Start going through your list. Okay, the first thing I think about is my relationship with God. It's been entrusted to me. What am I doing with my relationship to my Lord, my Savior, my Creator? Am I engaging in that relationship? Am I growing and multiplying it? Lord reminds, yeah, I know God. I've got news for you. Satan knows God. He's spending eternity in hell. What are you doing with your relationship? Next thing I think about is my wife. The Lord has entrusted me with my wife. Am I being responsible? Am I being a good steward of cultivating an environment where she can grow and develop into the woman God has called her to be? That's part of my stewarding my marriage, my relationship well. Am I remaining faithful to her and trustworthy to her? That's part of me stewarding my relationship well. The next thing I think about is my children. God has entrusted me with these precious gifts, even the ones that send me heart and service. What am I doing with my children? Am I growing, developing, and training them into the young men and women God has called them to be? Am I teaching them of His ways, His commands, His laws? Or am I just letting them be? And now they'll become somebody someday. No, but I'm supposed to be stewarding over that. Supposed to be taking care of increasing, growing, developing what has been entrusted to me. And we could get into all the other aspects of stewarding. So we're going to jump into the Word of God in Matthew chapter 25. And as we go through this, think about, what is God entrusting me with? Matthew chapter 25, picking up at verse 14. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So again, what have you been trusted with? This man's getting ready to go on a journey. He's entrusting his wealth to his servants. Do you know you and I are servants of the Lord Most High? What does a servant do? He does what the master tells him to do. He's obedient and responsive to his commands and his orders. One of those commands that I think about often is Matthew 28, the Great Commission, verse 18 through 20. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. He's talking to his disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." It's one thing to know the Great Commission, because part of stewarding is growing and developing. And how many of you have heard that before? Anybody? Okay, three of you. Wonderful. It was in my message last week, too. Just wanted to see who was listening last week. Anybody online listening? It's one thing to know the Great Commission. The first step we take as a steward is we know it. Yeah, I know it. You know what? The devil knows the Great Commission, too. That's why he wars against us at every turn. Because he knows if we act upon it, we're going to lead people from hell to heaven. So it goes from head knowledge. Sometimes this 18-inch journey is a really long travel. But then it becomes our heart knowledge. Now I don't only know the Word of God, I don't only know the Great Commission, but it starts to change me. It starts to change the way I act and behave. It starts to change the way I prioritize my life, my time, my finances, my family, my relationships, my engagements. The Word of God should not just be something we know, but it should be something next step as a steward that begins to change us, change our behaviors, change our actions, change our thought process. To where I'm not thinking so much about this guy and I'm thinking a little more about that guy. And after that becomes knowledge, becomes understanding, then we move to our hands and start doing something about it. Growing and developing. Now what do I do? I know the Great Commission is starting to change the way I think about people. I start to understand there's been an authority transfer. When Jesus says, therefore, he's saying, therefore, go in my power, my authority, my name. I'm not acting on Arby's behalf. I'm acting on the behalf of my Lord and Savior. His power and authority goes before me in his name. I can do that. I don't have a lot of power and authority in my own name. I have some influence. I have some favor. But when we start walking in the power and authority, and then it transfers to our feet, we go and take it. And that's why we show up to the river on a Sunday afternoon and baptize people in the name of Jesus. So we should grow and develop in that process, not just stopping at knowledge. Yeah, I know the Word of God. I could read it front to back without even opening it. I know it. I've memorized it. Knowing's one thing, but as we grow and develop as a steward, there's a process that has to take place. Knowing it is like planting a seed in the ground. That seed's going to need some water. It's going to need some nutrients. When it gets to here, it starts to change us. And it starts to get water and nutrients and begins to grow and develop. Then once it pops up from the ground, then we have to protect it from all the little critters that like to eat fresh green shoots. And then once it develops and continues, then it starts to put out fruit, right? We have to come back and we have to prune and we have to pick and take care of still. Stewarding should be a process that continually develops no matter where you're at today. Maybe you would be like, I'm just a seed planted in the ground. Great. We all were in that phase at one point in our lives, that first initial seed. But stewarding compels us to continue growing and developing. So the Word of God calls us to accept and understand the authority transfer, doing things in the name of Jesus and His power and authority. Make disciples of those around us, baptize them, teach them. And the best thing about it all is Jesus promises to never leave us. He says, I'll be with you. Like, we have a resource that we can go back to, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Say, man, I'm at the end of my rope. Like, I have this sinus infection. I'm going to have surgery. And God, only you. We have a resource we can go to that meets us in our need. I was one of those people praying for David and walking with him through that process, and it was awesome. When he came back and we were like, how'd the surgery go? He goes, I didn't have to have it. That's amazing. And I've prayed for people that had to go through surgery and walk out the process of healing, and I don't know why one and the other. I don't know, but I know my job is to have faith for the situation and to pray and intercede on their behalf. Because that's my part. God's going to do His part, and you have your part. So know that God is with you. He was always your resource. He is always available. Picking up back in Matthew 25, verse 15. To one He gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, I'm a numbers guy, so I had to figure this out. So each bag of gold was estimated at the worth of 20 years' wages for the common laborer of that day. So I put a price tag on common laborer wage, $30,000 a year. So if that would be equated to today, the first servant was given $3 million. Then here, take care of this for me. The second servant was given $1.2 million. Here, take care of this for me. I'll be back. And the third servant was given $600,000. Here, take care of this for me. I'll be back. So what are your talents? What talents have been given to you? And the one catchphrase for me in this verse is, each according to their ability. Because sometimes we're the servant that gets the $600,000, and we look at the guy with $3 million and go, well, if I was given what he was given, I could do more. But since I wasn't, it's a mess. It's like, no, if you made a mess with my $600,000, you're going to make a mess of my $3 million. And instead of taking care of what we are entrusted with, we gripe and complain and say, but if, what if I only, and we play the if game. But we're not held accountable for that which we weren't given. We're held accountable for that which we were given. And I don't care if it's 2 nickels or 10 million nickels. You are responsible for what you have been entrusted with. Each one of us bears our own responsibility. And it's not for anyone else to carry. It's not for anyone else to take part in. It's your responsibility. You will be held accountable for what has been entrusted to you. So what is your personal responsibility? There's not supposed to be comparison. It's not, well, what if? It's not about comparison. Picking up in Galatians chapter 6. Jump a couple books over. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Here's part of our responsibility. This is to all of us. Doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a lot in that passage. The first two words that really stick out to me are burden and load. I just told you that you have to carry that alone and it's only yours to carry, right? And then it just said, help shoulder each other's burdens. Okay, your load is your responsibility. That's what you are taxed with. That's what you are entrusted with. Your burden is anything that comes above that, and that's where we help shoulder the responsibility of one another. But there is a load that is a portion that only you can carry. In this Foundations of Masculinity study that we go through, there's one whole lesson on your backpack. What's in your backpack? What are you carrying around with you in your heart, your soul, your spirit every day? And like physically, we can carry about 20% of our weight all day, every day, and do pretty good. And we can do it for a lot of years, and we can do it for a lot of miles. But when we start going over that 20% mark, it starts making a lot more wear, a lot more tear in our bodies, and degrades us a lot quicker. So spiritually, if we look at it the same way, the 20% is my load. When I start getting beyond 20% capacity, that's my burden. The burden is what we're supposed to lay at the foot of the cross and give to Jesus. It's what we're supposed to walk with each other in. David's sinus infection, that's a burden. That's not a load. You need some people to come rally around you, to pray with you, to lift you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you sometimes. So what burdens are you carrying that you need somebody to share with you? Above and beyond your load, what do you carry daily that you need to share? Life group is an incredible place to share your burdens and carry them one with another, to strengthen and encourage, to sharpen. Verse 1 of that passage in Galatians, restore gently. How do you deal with someone in sin? You restore them gently. That's how we're supposed to act. And also it gives us the caution, don't be deceived. Don't fall into sin yourself. But take care of those in need. Carry each other's burdens. Test your actions. Are my actions trustworthy? Are my actions righteous? Are my actions glorifying God? And if they are, take pride in that. Yes, I'm living a life that glorifies and honors God. Don't become proud and conceited, but take pride in your work. Do you take pride in your work? I take pride in my work. I want to do a good job. I'm building this beautiful bookshelf for my wife right now. I'm taking pride in how it's turning out. I'm not going to become proud and say, wow, mine's a lot better than his. No, but I want to do a good job. Anything I do, I want to do excellent at, not perfect. I mean, I might get perfect one day, but I doubt it, except for through Jesus. But I want to do excellent and do my very best to my abilities. I mean, if we have an art competition, I'm never going to win. but I am going to draw the best stick people I can. Excellence is doing the best to your ability, not being the best in the field. But it's giving 100% of whatever you have and whatever you're engaged in. Learn to carry your own load. You have a load and a responsibility that is yours and yours alone. My kids are my responsibility. That's no one else's load. We are taxed with some burdens once in a while. And we need some people to rally around us. We need community in our lives to help us carry that burden. But my kids are my load. And my wife's. We share that responsibility. It's our load. It's my responsibility to get them to Jesus, to know Jesus, to serve Jesus, to understand Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus. And then one day they get to make their own decision about that. I can lead them to the cross. I can't make them take it. Share what you learn. You know, there's nothing more deflating for me than to get up here and I've been attacked all morning by the enemy. And like, your message is worthless. You don't have anything good to say. Why are you even speaking today? And then after service, nobody says a word. All week long, nobody says a word. And I know it's just the enemy, but when you learn something, share it with someone. It doesn't have to be with me. I like to hear it. Just like, good, I helped somebody today. Maybe what I'm doing with my life is worthwhile. And I don't need kudos. So I don't need 100 emails after church to say thanks. But I say that to share what God is doing in your life with someone around you. Just like David shared this morning. How many miracles happen around us and we don't share them so people don't know? The Word of God calls us to share. And there's this principle of sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you sow. What seeds are you sowing into your life, into the lives of those around you? Because you're going to eat of that harvest. I have to meet with people and why does God hate me so much? Why is God doing this to me? I said, oh, God isn't doing this to you. You's doing this to you. You're just eating what you're planting. We love fresh tomatoes, so half my garden is tomato plants. We like to eat tomatoes. We like to make salsa. We like to have canned tomatoes throughout the winter. We like to have fresh BLTs. What seeds are you planting in your life? Because you are going to eat the fruit of the seeds you plant into your life. If you plant bitterness and anger and rage, there's a possibility you will be eating 3 meals a day from behind bars. That's fruit of the seeds you've sowed. Don't blame God for the seeds you planted. He gives you a whole list of seeds to plant in your life. We don't have time to get into all of them today, but God's word is full of his truth and his promises and tells us which seeds to plant in our life. You can start with the fruits of the Spirit, those 9 wonderful seeds, and eat of that fruit. Another big one in there, verse 9, is don't give up. Keep pushing on. Don't give up. Push through. I was in a softball tournament all day yesterday. Showed up at 7 a.m., got home at 9:30 p.m. The backs of my legs are super sunburned. And by the time we got to the championship game, we're all, you know, we're not young pups anymore. Just saying it. And at 3:45 in the heat of the afternoon, after we've been out in it all day, it was like, ugh. And you wanted to give up, but then the competition side, he said, we're not giving up. Sometimes it feels like that in the spirit. We've been out there and gutting it out and digging it, and our legs are starting to cramp, and you're starting to feel tired and lethargic and ugh. and you want to quit, the Word of God says, don't give up. Continue, push through. Stewards, see it through to the end. They don't give up. They don't quit. They don't stop. They push and they push and they push. The last line in there, verse 10, do good to all. Do good to all. I think your enemies are included in all. Those you don't care for, do good to all. Those you don't agree with, do good to all. Those you don't have the same, maybe religious or political views, do good to all. Kathleen and I were in Mexico a year ago, maybe a little more. And we were on this boat going out to this island with this group from France. And we started talking with this one young lady, and she ends up being Muslim. And so we're talking, and we're like, yeah, we're pastors. And she's like, what's that? Well, Christians, you know, we serve Jesus. And we're talking. After a while, she gets this real perplexed look on her face. And we're like, what's up? She's like, I can't figure you out. Like, I have never met a Christian that's been nice to me. We're supposed to be the light of the world. She's like, you are the first Christians I have ever met that did not yell and scream at me. How terrible is that? Do good to all, that they may see Christ in you and find him also. I pray for her every once in a while when I think of our trip. And I hope somebody else, I hope that was a seed planted and somebody else is watering it. And I hope she's found Jesus. But definitely she looked differently on who God is from that day forward. This is a different kind of love that I've never seen. I've heard it, she'd heard about it, but she had not seen it. Do good to all. That's part of our load, something we should carry each and every day. And sometimes we screw up and we don't do good to all, and we need to go back and apologize. Say, I am sorry for the way I treated you yesterday or last week or last month. Or maybe we have to go back 10 or 20 years. A true, sincere apology. What can I do to make our relationship right again? And some will reject it. My job is to give the apology, to extend in reconciliation. Their job is to accept or reject. We've got to do our part. Back into Matthew 25, we get back to our original text. Picking up at 16 and 18. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, remember that's $3 million. He's entrusted with a lot. Why didn't he just skip the country and go live a life of lavish, wondrous? Because he was a good servant. He had received 5 bags of gold, went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So we have 3 different servants here. 2 went and doubled the money that had been entrusted to them. 1 went and hid the money that was entrusted to him. So what are you doing? Are you multiplying what God has entrusted into your life with? Or are you just burying it and sitting on it and waiting? They received 2 very different results, as we'll see as we go on in the passage. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Do you know you have to give an account? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody stands in that spot for you. So that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We have to give an account for our lives. We have to stand before Christ and say, this is what I did with what you trusted me with. Here's your 5 bags back. Here's your 10 bags back. Here's your 100 bags back. What did you do with what was entrusted to you in your life? Verse 20 through 23. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So often when we're entrusted with something, it starts out kind of small. I remember when I started packing and guiding in the mountains. My first responsibility was to learn how to ride a horse. Can you stay on a horse or a mule? We're mostly using mules in those days. But can you stay on? It's like, yeah, I think so. So we saddled up and I rode a mule around and, all right, made a few trips into the mountains and didn't wreck my mule. So, all right. Now you can handle a mule. Can you handle one behind you? So eventually you got one pack mule and now I got to pay attention to what's up here, what's down here, and what's back there. And so it went on, and eventually you got 2 and 3 and 4, and pretty soon you get 15 or 20, which if you've ever been part of a high mountain yard sale, it's not fun. It's when you have 10 head of mules rolled off the hill and packs going everywhere, ropes going everywhere. It's not exciting. But you had to be faithful and responsible with a little before you were trusted with much. You don't just get a pack string and say, here you go, have a good day. The owner of these animals was entrusting me with his animals, with his packs, with his loads, with his gear. But I had to prove myself faithful first with a little to receive much. Sometimes it's that way in our walk with God. What are you doing with the little he gave you? I've talked to many people who said, yeah, but this is just a little thing. It doesn't matter. If you would trust me with all of that, I'd take care of it. I'd do something with that. But this little thing? What's God trusted you with, and what are you doing with it? Verse 24 and 25, the third servant. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. This servant moved in fear and became an excuse meister. Well, this is why I did what I did. Because of this, I had to do that. That's not my fault. Don't become an excuse meister. Don't walk in fear. The Spirit God has given us is not of fear, but it is of power, love, and sound mind. Self-control. Verse 26 and 27. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Remember, a little is better than nothing." A little is better than nothing. Increase is what we're called to. Multiplication is what we are called to as stewards of all God has entrusted us with. 28 and 29. "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So it might not be fair, but it's just. God is a just God, and it might not look like fairness to us. God isn't about fairness. He's about justice. And the last part of that you don't want to hear. "You wicked, unfaithful servant." I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So what is God entrusting you with? And what are you doing with it? I think about one of my talents is public speaking. Not a gift, but a talent God entrusted me with. When I was in high school, I would take a zero in my speech class so I didn't have to get up in front of the class and give a speech. Not my gift. But it is a talent God extended to me and said, "Arby, will you take care of this?" So I had to take classes and I had to watch good speakers and how do they speak and how do they deliver and what communicates well to the audience. And first of all, knowing your audience. But I had to build and grow and develop in the talent God had entrusted me with. We also have our gifts, talents, abilities, various things. We're going to get into those in the next few weeks in stewardship. But sometimes I have to personally invest to grow and develop a talent that God has entrusted me with. And it takes time and money and energy and resources on my part to go do that. So what's a talent God has entrusted you with that you've been sitting on and it's buried and it's just in the ground waiting? That you need to pull up, dig out of the ground, and begin developing and increasing and growing in it. Because that's what we're called to. Some of the easier ones to look at are easy: your family, your friend groups, your church body, your community. We're all entrusted with that. Some of the harder ones are, what are the personal things that I don't want to deal with? God, I really don't. It took me about 18 years of speaking up here to be able to get up here without, like, I just want to run out that back door and disappear and, like, go live in the woods for the rest of my life. Serious. And when I go speak somewhere else, I'm finally comfortable here. When I go speak somewhere else, it all comes back. And I just want to, like, head for the mountains. Like, I'm out. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it means you're obedient to what God has entrusted you with. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you call us, you invite us, God, to be part of your kingdom. God, to be part of your work here on this earth in leading people into eternity through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I just ask that you would stir up inside of us. God, bring, God, to the forefront of our mind, God, those talents that are laying dormant inside of us. God, that we would become aware, God, either right now, right now, Lord God, in the days ahead, Lord God, through dreams and visions, God, that you would begin showing and revealing us, God, those talents that are inside of us that are laying dormant, God, that we have buried. God, that we have not put into practice and multiplied for your kingdom, for your glory. God, that we would begin exercising and developing those. God, for your kingdom. And Father, we thank you for that. God, we ask for the leading of your Holy Spirit in each one of us, God, as we grow and develop in you. God, to make your name known as great. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Inside your folder, you have your Connect card if you want to fill that out. That would be awesome. Also inside there, you have your offering envelope if you want to use that today as we receive our morning tithe and offering. You're welcome to use that also. I'm going to invite our ushers forward if you'll just drop your Connect card inside the offering basket as it comes by also.